shootings and arrests in Ferguson, Missouri.
These are not acts of protesters, but acts of violent criminals.
California school plot foiled.
The death toll could have been devastating.
Losing a great voice.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. With the National Guard nearby, trouble again on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Two people were shot, 31 arrested in the violent protests over the fatal police shooting of an unarmed black man. CBS's Steve Futterman begins our coverage.
There was more anger, more violence, and more frustration on the streets of Ferguson. After what was mostly a peaceful Monday during the day, the mood changed last night.
We want the world to hear this.
I'm prepared to be arrested.
More militant protesters confronted police. They refused to obey orders to disperse.
You need to move within your designated area.
One group of around 100 was tear gassed. There were calls for nonviolence from more moderate protesters.
They need to stop. Take a look at what they're doing.
Also calling for nonviolence, the rap star Nelly, who grew up a few miles from Ferguson.
The rage, I understand it. Don't get me twisted. I understand it. But at the end of the day, what you gonna change?
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson.
These are not acts of protesters, but acts of violent criminals.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Ferguson, Missouri.
I'm Peter Mayer on Martha's Vineyard. President Obama will have another White House briefing on the trouble in Ferguson before resuming his working vacation here. His immediate focus is on restoring law and order. He also expects a review of the post-9/11 use of federal funds for military gear for local police departments.
There is a big difference between our military and our local law enforcement, and we don't want those lines blurred. That would be contrary to our traditions.
Attorney General Holder travels to Ferguson tomorrow to meet with FBI agents and community leaders.
Now to South Pasadena, California, where CBS's John Blackstone tells us two teenage boys are under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill people at their high school.
According to a statement from law enforcement officials, two male students were plotting to kill three of the school's staff members and as many students as possible, focusing on two unidentified students in particular. Their motive, police say, personal reasons.
My classmate just said, might have killed me. It's hard to swallow.
Police quickly set up surveillance on the two incoming seniors and started recording their conversations. Police confiscated computers showing the two were researching a variety of weapons.
The L.A. school district's out with a new plan to keep students involved in low-level offenses from prosecution. They'll be sent to counseling or the principal's office. Overseas, CBS's Charlie Daggett has the latest on the struggle over a key dam in northern Iraq.
Now it is under control of Kurdish Peshmerga soldiers. Now, taking this dam is one thing. Holding on to it is another. And Kurdish forces have said they're going to need U.S. air power in case ISIS intends to launch a counterattack.
There's more time on the clock today for a Mideast ceasefire.
The 24-hour truce extension gives Egyptian mediators in Cairo more time to broker a long-term ceasefire in Gaza, but gaps are wide. Hamas negotiator Izzat Rishek said Israel is resisting the key Palestinian demand, lifting the blockade on Gaza. But after 9 days of calm, neither side seems interested in a resumption of fighting. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
A wildfire near California's Yosemite National Park has forced people in 13,000 homes and businesses to leave. Resident Tom Mullins says the fire's a fast mover.
It was like a little tiny bit of smoke, and then all of a sudden we could see the fire coming down the hill. All the way down the hill.
1,200 acres have burned. Texas Governor Rick Perry has hired a high-powered legal team to fight his abuse of power case. He's accused of threatening a veto of funding for a state office headed by a Democratic DA who refused to quit after a drunk driving arrest. Perry on WSB Radio in Atlanta is mounting a very public defense.
This is an absolute corruption of the process. This is not how you settle political issues. And this was clearly a political issue from my perspective.
Perry, seen as a possible GOP presidential candidate, is still planning trips to Washington and New Hampshire. The Florida Citrus Department says orange juice sales are down more than 9% from a year ago to their lowest since records started being kept in 2002.
Take on the day with the natural goodness of 100% pure Florida orange juice.
Florida orange growers are due to turn out their smallest crop in half a century. Don Pardo has died. His majestic baritone was heard a lot on radio and TV for decades.
President Kennedy was shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas.
He did news and sports.
From Denver Mile High Stadium, it's the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Denver Broncos.
He told them what they won on the original version of Jeopardy.
Jeopardy presents today's three contestants.
And it was Don Pardo who became a key part of late-night TV history. Critic Leonard Maltin.
When he announced the first broadcast of Saturday Night Live, apparently the producer, Lorne Michaels, not only took a liking to him, but insisted that he be with the show as long as possible.
Pardo, who was 96 years old, continued to work right through SNL's season finale this past May, recording his intros from his Arizona home. He may have been struggling with depression, but Robin Williams, in the months before his suicide, recorded a heartfelt video message for a 21-year-old New Zealand woman, Vivian Waller, terminally ill with cancer. She had always wanted to meet him.
Hi, Vivian. It's Robin Williams here and saying, hey, girl, what's going on down there in New Zealand? Sending all my love to you, Jack, and Sophie. Mark this off your bucket list. I said, hey, 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 what's going on? It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. I'm just channeling Matthew McConaughey. Much love to you, baby.
Waller's husband, Jack, says she was thrilled to see that, but he hasn't told her about his death. From a bucket list to the Ice Bucket Challenge, the social media event of the summer, the ALS Foundation now says the public dowsings have helped raise nearly $16 million since late last month. That compares to $1.8 million last year over the same period. They devote their lives to make a difference. And increasingly, as we hear from CBS's Gary Nunn, humanitarian workers make the ultimate sacrifice.
79 workers have died this year. A study released to mark World Humanitarian Day finds 2013 the most dangerous year ever for humanitarian workers. 155 were killed, 171 seriously wounded, 134 kidnapped, all trying to help others in some of the world's most dangerous places, including Afghanistan, Syria, South Sudan, Sudan, and Pakistan. Attacks involving explosives are on the increase. More than one half of all violent incidents involved ambushes or roadside attacks. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
North Carolina teacher Juliana Mendelson's trying to do some good for Ferguson, Missouri. With kids out of school there because of all the unrest, she's helped raise $70,000 for food to replace missed school lunches and breakfasts. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.